This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We're talking with Nima Ramani today, president of the West Coast Trial Lawyers and a personal defense attorney. Nima, I want to get your take here on the Lori Vallow-Daybell case. Always interesting to hear the perspectives of what is standing out in this, depending on who I'm talking to, what their profession is, what their insights are going to be into the situation. There's been a lot that's come out, and we'll touch on quite a bit of it here. But Nima, I'm just going to open up the floor to you first. What's been standing out for you?
Well, it's been a really strong case for the prosecution. Obviously, the shock and awe of how JJ and Tylee were killed, the asphyxiation, and then the dismemberment. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's probably one of the worst cases I've seen in terms of the evidence that's presented to the jury. I mean, these are parents who killed their own kids, at least allegedly buried them in the backyard. So I think that evidence is just going to be too overwhelming for Lori Vallow's defense team to overcome.
I don't know how they would honestly do it at this point. And more testimony looking more and more twisted, I guess. I mean, I was even surprised the other day with the testimony of one of Lori's friends making the statement that Lori threatened to cut her up and bury her where no one would find her. Even for Lori Vallow, that seemed a little out of character, considering a lot of times when she's talking to people in trying to get her way, it's veiled threats. It's usually behind some sort of religious doctrine or ideology. It's rare that we hear her speaking in that sort of direct, I'm going to cut you up and bury you sort of tone.
Yeah, usually she is a lot more careful than that. But, you know, those recordings, right, the jailhouse ones, you know, especially her son essentially cross-examining her and saying, where are my siblings, you know? Mm-hmm. And obviously the other recordings with the friends and other family members, you have a lot of evidence. You don't typically have these types of recordings in a murder case, but obviously you had months where these kids were missing and law enforcement was working with these types of informants to get information from Lori. So, I mean, the jurors were paying a lot of attention to that type of testimony.
How, when you run this through your mind, how do you, or where do you go in your mind on how you would try to defend this woman if you were in the defense seat right now of Lori Vallow? Are they throwing the towel in at this point, or is there a path? Do they have a strategy? Because it has not even gone over to them yet. It's just been crossed where they've not looked very good. Where do you go from here?
Well, Tony, I think they've, on one hand, they've already won, right? Getting the death penalty taken off the table. I mean, there's no way I think she's going to get an acquittal. Mm-hmm. But the fact that her lawyers were able to save her life because of some prosecution discovery violations, I think that's a big win. Obviously, Chad Daybell is still looking at the death penalty. You know, as far as defending the case on the merits, I think you got to point the finger at someone. I personally would have pointed the finger at Chad. Mm-hmm. If I were lawyers, defense lawyers. I mean, I think this, we're going to see some sort of argument where Alex Cox is blamed for basically everything, right? Killing Tammy, Chad's ex, and killing the kids. I just don't think that argument's going to hold water with the jury, but that's the direction I think the defense is going to go in.
The impact that this is going to now have on Chad's trial coming up, I mean, it is so damning. And for the most part, it implicates both of them in basically everything that's being talked about. There's very little where it's just Lori. There's probably actually more where it shows, well, it looks like Chad was more physically present or involved in certain things. How, I mean, is this going to be almost open and shut when it comes to Chad's trial in terms of what's going to be presented and what he's going to, what kind of defense can be raised for him?
Oh, I think so. I mean, the conventional wisdom is the prosecution usually has the upper hand in any type of retrial, right? They're not dealing with that element of surprise during cross of their witnesses, and their witnesses are going to be more prepared. But you're also looking at someone who just frankly is less sympathetic, right? You know, females tend to do better in murder trials when you compare it to men. And jurors aren't idiots, right? If and when Lori Vallow is convicted, they're going to know that. So jurors in the second case, the Chad Daybell case, are going to know that the co-conspirator has already been found guilty. She's going to spend the rest of her life in prison. And kind of a recent example where this happened, obviously not a murder case, but, you know, once Elizabeth Holmes was convicted, you know, in the Theranos case, it was just a foregone conclusion that her boyfriend and COO, Sonny Balwani, was going to be convicted as well. So once they go back to back, I think the state's going to have a very good chance of getting a conviction for Chad. And it's just really a question of, is he going to be put to death or not?
Are we going to see a shorter trial with Chad, or is it going to be drawn out with all these witnesses and such again?
I think we're going to see a lot of the same. And like you said, some of the evidence just crosses, you know, both Chad and Lori. You know, we heard this week about the infamous Hawaii trip, them, you know, in their bathing suits in Kauai. And then, you know, we heard powerful testimony recently where, you know, Chad goes to Tammy's employer 2 days after she's allegedly murdered and asked for the life insurance money, you know, $130,000. So, you know, and he had ordered apparently like 8 death certificates. So this doesn't seem like, you know, an ex-husband or a mother or father who really care about folks who have gone missing or have died.
Yeah, I mean, one of the testimonies that was given by the same woman earlier, I believe Audrey was her name, I could be wrong. She was the one who was talking about Lori threatening her directly. Also had, in that same conversation with Lori, seemed to have had some sort of interaction where Lori was flat out defending herself, saying, you know, what am I supposed to do? I needed to have some me time. I needed to have some fun as well. After the kids are dying, or after the kids died, I had to move on. But when she made that statement, the kids were still missing. They were not even found at the time. But she already seemed to recognize that they had already been dead. Not exactly saying how, but knew it.
Yeah, I mean, that was really bad statement for Lori. And let's not forget, at this time, she was under a judge's order to appear and tell the court where these kids were. This is after, you know, her shifting story, lying to law enforcement about their whereabouts. So I know some folks are concerned that this is going to kind of go in the direction of a Casey Anthony, but I really think that that specific case down there in Florida was an anomaly. The jurors in that case, some of them have come out publicly and said that they regret their decision. So, and I think a case like that, you know, again, there's just going to be so much pressure on these jurors to return a guilty verdict. Idaho's a small community. I just can't see any way for this not to go guilty. Again, you know, there may be one or two holdouts. That's going to be the best case scenario for the defense, but I think even that's unlikely.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Nima Ramani, president of the West Coast Trial Lawyers. Thank you so much for your insight into that case. If you like the podcast, press subscribe wherever you're downloading it so you don't miss any breaking updates and discussions on the cases as we have them for you right here. Get an ad-free experience through Apple Podcasts right now as well. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.